we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again today to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I've been pastoring Merritt Assembly of God for 24 and a half years, almost to the day. Missed a couple of days early on that, but we're excited to invite you to our 65th anniversary service this coming Saturday night at 6:30. I messed this announcement up at church here a couple of weeks ago. So Saturday night, June the 10th at 6:30, and Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., June 11th, we're going to be having our anniversary celebration. And by the way, I think it is great when God's people celebrate. I think you should celebrate victories. I think you should celebrate when people are getting saved. Celebrate when you get an answer to prayer. Celebrate when somebody is baptized. I think we need to celebrate victories more frequently than we do. So we're celebrating our 65th anniversary this coming week, and I can tell you it is in considerably better shape. Our church, our finances, our mission support, our building, our ministry, it's all in better shape now than it was when we celebrated our 40th anniversary 25 years ago. And so we're thankful for every person that's given their heart to the Lord. We have had some very influential ministers who gave their heart to the Lord at Merritt Assembly of God through the years. And we want to celebrate those things. But we also want to use it as a launching pad, not so that we just rest on what we've done in the past, but so that we can say, God, would you equip us and empower us to do even more and accomplish greater things for you in the years to come. So that'll be coming up this weekend, so you won't hear about that for too many more days. But if you can't attend, would you please pray that God would visit us and equip us so that we can reach more lost people with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not in the business of just seeing saints shifted from one assignment to another assignment. We realize that that happens from time to time, but we want to advance the kingdom of God by seeing men and women and boys and girls from every strata of society redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A week ago, I read a newsletter from one of our missionaries who said, I just wanted to let you know that I recently had the joy of celebrating a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that didn't used to be there, and it comes from a segment of society that you would not think would be very open to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this person has been saved and changed by the glory of God. And so that's the sort of stuff that we want to be celebrating and being equipped to do more of in the days to come. We want to start off to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538, right here in Brevard County. Their phone number, once again, is 321-632-9538. Listen, I've lived in Florida for almost 28 years. And I can tell you that you don't want to go without air conditioning in the summer heat. It is an oppressive heat. I remember one time I was young and not as much wisdom as I have now. And I worked outside, exposed to the full brunt force of the sun for like 16 hours, And at the end of the day, I thought I was going to be in trouble there. My wife helped get me cooled down and with ice and things like that. And so I can tell you this, you don't want to risk your health or your life with the heat. And so if you have AC problems, give them a call at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. They're right here in Rockledge, Florida. And they go all throughout the county, work on every type of system that you can think of. And so I encourage you to give them a call and make sure that you stay cool this summer. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 65. I'm not going to read the whole passage today. I'm just going to go back to verse number 13 and read verses 13 through 19 is where we're going to start today. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes." That's where we ended on yesterday's program. Verse number 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard, nor the voice of crying." And so yesterday I ended, "Because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes." And I had a statement that came out of my mouth, said something, may God bless you with a bad memory in the ability to remember your problems, your troubles, your heartaches, your disappointments. And I want to flip that coin over, and I want to pray that he blesses you with a tremendous memory. When you remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the presence of God, the faithfulness of God, the blessings of God's people, may you have the ability to remember blessing after blessing after blessing. Remember how he turned a mess into a message and a test into a testimony. I pray that you have such a vivid memory of the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the faithful provision of God, that it'll be at the forefront of your memory. And so I attended a wedding in the month of May, and they said, "What token do you have as a sign that you are going to be faithful to these vows?" And they said, we have this ring, and that ring was put upon their finger. And so every time you look at it, you're not supposed to look at it with regret. You're not supposed to look at it as a ball and chain, as I've heard people refer to it. But instead, you look at that and say, God has blessed me with a gift. And this ring reminds me of the covenant that I have. And it is my joy and my honor and my privilege to maintain that covenant. And so whatever you have to remind you of the covenant that God has, or his faithfulness or his blessings, I pray that you would use it as a signal for your memory, a trigger, that every time you see it triggers thanksgiving in your heart. Here's what God says. He talks about things that are forgotten, things that are hidden for his eyes, and then he says, "For behold." Now, he has said behold once, twice, three, four times in verses 13 and 14. Behold, behold, behold. And now he says, for behold. In other words, he's saying, now I want you to focus on this, not just the distinction between my servants and those who have turned their backs on me, but he says, now I want you to watch this. Watch as I begin to create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. God says, are you ready? Are you watching? Now, you will find that this is described in the book of Revelation as well, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And God says, I want you to watch this. I don't want you to miss a moment of this. Have you ever been watching television and you blinked or you turned your head for just a moment and all of a sudden something happened? Well, you know, we're at our house, we now have the ability to scroll back, and, you know, sometimes things happen, either the volume's down, you can't hear it, or things happen and you can blink and you can miss it. And it's like, okay, I want to be able to go back and see that again. I'd like to have another shot at it. Well, I wasn't there for the initial creation, but let me just say this about the initial creation. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, here's this, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? And so God is saying you have to understand that the hall of faith, if you will, one of the initial entries has to do with people who understand by faith that God is the creator and that he has the ability to bring something that is tangible and visible out of the realm of the invisible and things that you cannot see or touch. And so I'm thankful that God, that I serve a creator. I'm thankful that he is not only a God who creates, but he made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I want you to understand that God is a creative God. The Bible says that he gives his people the ability to create wealth. And so that means that I do not have to ever feel imprisoned when I serve a creative God. It doesn't matter if I have a situation and it's really horrible. God has the ability to recreate that situation or recreate me in that situation in a manner in which I'm going to come out better than I was before. And so here he says, I want you to understand that I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. The reason that would be is because that which is to come is superior to that which has already been created. So God's next creation, his next heavens, his new earth, and I will be honest, I will tell you flat out, I don't understand the process that God will use to make this a reality. There are passages of scripture that I see that the elements are going to meld with fire, and I see another passage where it says the earth is going to endure forever. So I don't know how God makes that those two statements one in his hand. Ezekiel 37, we often talk about that as the valley of dry bones. But later on in Ezekiel 37, God tells Ezekiel to grab a stick and write on the name of it Israel, and grab another stick and write on the name Judah. And he said, I want you to grab them in your hand where one end of one stick is butting up against the end of another stick. And he said, I want you to grab them, and in your hand they will become one, just as in my hand Judah and Israel will become one, and they will function. They're two distinct sticks, but in my hand they are one. And that's the way that I view things in Scripture that I don't understand. It's like, you know what? I just need to trust in God's hand. I need to trust that however he makes this a reality, that it's going to be fine. There are a lot of things in life I don't understand, and they don't keep me awake at night at all. You know, I don't understand how you drill down through dirt and you get water to come up that's so clean you can drink it. I don't understand that, but it is a reality. I don't deny the reality of it just because I don't understand. And for all you engineers out there, you can try and explain it to me, and I will just stand there and shake my head and all that under, because I trust that it works. I just don't understand how. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I do know that God makes it a reality. So God says, don't give up. Even though things around you look very bleak and very problematic and things look hard, there's going to come a day when there's a distinction between my servants and those who refuse to serve me. And I am going to create a new heaven and a new earth that is going to be so wonderful. It is going to be without temptation. It's going to be without sickness. It's going to be without death. It's going to be without sorrow. It is going to be without all of the problems that we have in this life. He said, it is going to be so marvelous that you will not remember the things that have gone on before. And so that's what the Word of God says. And so he says, I want you to accept this. I want you to see it. I want you to believe it before it ever happens, and be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. So God gave me a word before I ever asked my wife to marry me. He gave her a word that she was going to marry me. He gave me a word that I was going to marry her. And we didn't tell each other until after we had said, you know, I had asked her and she said yes. And I said, well, here's what God told me. And he said, I'm going to create out of your two lives. I'm not going to give it to you word for word, but he said, I'm going to create something more beautiful by bringing your lives together than either life would have been independently of one another. And so I rejoice in what God has made. I rejoice. In fact, I don't live my life lamenting any of the steps that God has brought my way. When he orders my steps and directs my path, and he says that he does, then I just have to trust him and walk and say, God, this is going to be a great journey. One of my favorite roller coaster rides of all time was a roller coaster I rode, and my eyes were closed the entire time, so I didn't know what was coming up. And it was like, man, this is great. This is great. Some people don't like that, but that's okay. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. Is it okay if God goes to work in your situation to create something more beautiful in the days to come than you have experienced in the days gone by? Would that be okay? Is it okay that God said the glory of the latter temple will supersede that the glory of the former temple that had disappeared? There were some people who had seen the former temple, and then they saw the new temple, and they began to be overcome with sorrow. There were other people who saw when there was no temple, and they came and they said, wow, this is great. And so there was weeping and there was rejoicing, and God said, don't weep over that which is past, because something even more glorious is coming in the days ahead. So rejoice. God has not lost his creative edge at all. He said, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. You've got to understand that as this passage is going on here, he is not just saying that when God creates something that we are going to be rejoicing, that is truth. It is going to be glorious. I mean, when God goes to creative work, I mean, it's going to be spectacular. One of the most ludicrous activities that Christians engage in is trying to tell God how to do it. God, this is the only way this will work. My testimony is that I have faced situations in my life where when I looked at the mountain that was in my way, I said, God, I don't see any way around this mountain other than you. And when I looked in the rearview mirror after having traversed that mountain, I said, God, I still don't know how we got through that mountain. But to God be the glory. So please do not try and restrict God. God, if you don't do it this way, then you just don't answer prayer the way I want you to. I want you to have faith in God and trust in Him, because He can do things a lot of different ways, all of which will bring Him glory. That's why there are not many formulas that are spelled out in the Word of God. You see, there was a time when people were healed one way, and then there was times that people with the exact same condition were healed in different ways. We want to simplify it and say, if you do step A and then step B and then step C, then God will answer your prayer. And I want you to understand the equation this way. If you believe, God's going to answer. I don't want to get hung up in the process as much as I want to have faith that God is going to glorify His name. And when He creates, when He recreates, when He newly creates, it's going to be glorious. And so that's what He's going to do. And so we get to rejoice in that. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing. Anything new that God creates in your life and my life is going to be something that we can rejoice. And it says, and her people a joy. When you look at people in your life, I want you to answer this honestly. When you look at people in your life, do you see them as an asset or a liability? Do you see them as a gift or a problem? Because one of the things that we tell the people at Merit Assembly of God is that they are God's gift to this community. They're not the only gift, but God chooses the times and the places where we are to live so that people will reach out for God and find Him, because He is not far away. And so I say, you are here on divine assignment. You live in the neighborhood that God has chosen for you to live in. And so you and I, we need to act as if God has special favor upon our neighborhoods so that people will reach out and find Him to be Savior and Lord and King and friend. Her people a joy. People are a gift from God, and so they're a blessing. I told our congregation a week and a half ago about a missionary that we had at district council who, as he was talking, some people said, look, there's a guy who doesn't like you, and he said that he's going to burn your house down. And he said, no, he's my friend. I'll make a long story short. And they argued back and forth, and he said, look, my friends make me get closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. And my friends make me pray to my Savior more than I've prayed before. And that man makes me draw closer to my Savior, and he makes me pray more. I consider him my friend. And that guy didn't burn his house down. And so people can have a positive effect or a negative effect. And so I want to encourage you to look at them as a reason to rejoice instead of a reason to moan. And so he says, verse number 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So God says, not only is He going to create a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth that is going to be better than what was there before, He said, I'm going to cause my people to be rejoicing. They're going to be a great joy. But He said, I'm not going to be uninvolved in the celebration. It says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And so there's two takes on that. I will rejoice in Jerusalem. In other words, they're going to be a source of joy for me. So let me just tackle that one first. Are you walking in relationship with God to such an extent that God says, wow, I am thrilled with the way that they are walking in obedience and faithfulness. They are a great joy in my life. You know, I like to leave people in such a way that they've enjoyed the conversation that we've had, not groaned over the conversation that we've had. Don't always succeed, but that's what I try and do. And so there could be that. And then he says, I'm going to joy in it, that it is not only the source, but he is going to do it in that location. Would you pray for us that this weekend that God would rejoice in Merit Assembly of God and what we've done in 65 years, but he would also rejoice with us at Merit Assembly of God this week. We really want to experience the presence of God that would leave us transformed into better examples of who he is. He says, now there's some things that are not going to be welcome. They are not going to be found. They are going to be excluded from this new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Okay? So are you okay leaving some things behind so that you can embrace that which is new? You've got to have that choice. It's got to be one of the other. And so one of the things that he says is, the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Do you realize that it is hard to rejoice and grieve at the same time? And he says, I'm creating something new that is going to be so spectacular that you will not even remember the pain and the heartache and the trouble that you experienced before. I'm getting ready to create for you an environment where there is no more source of sorrow. I tell you, the only thing that makes heaven heaven for me is the fact that Jesus is there. I mean, am I opposed to a mansion or a room for me that he has prepared? Absolutely not. Am I opposed to streets of translucent gold? No, never seen them. Don't doubt their existence. Don't doubt the existence of the crystal sea. But what makes heaven heaven for me is Jesus. And I know that whenever I get into the presence of Jesus, it is a reason to rejoice. And so, whatever God is doing for you, I pray that it will not only be new, but it will be rejoicing, and it will heal all your heartache, all your disappointment, all your discouragement, and all your sorrow. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.